Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 818. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about beaches and mountain villages, beehive tombs and Byzantine art, pirate graves, and Mamma Mia, as we go to Volos, Greece, and the Pelion Peninsula. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about the Pelion Peninsula. I'd like to welcome back to the show Heather Cowper from heatheronhertravels.com. And Heather has come to talk to us about another Greek destination, the Pelion Peninsula. Heather, welcome back to the Amateur Traveler.
Thank you, Chris. Great to be here.
And I say welcome back, and if you've started listening to Amateur Traveler in the last, 15 years, you may not remember Heather. Heather was an early pioneer in podcasting, also in travel podcasting, but decided to do other things with her life. And so we haven't had Heather back on the show in a while, but I ran across one of her photos actually while putting in photos for one of the recent episodes and thought, I have to reconnect and see what's going on with Heather. And she has just been to an interesting place in Greece. And where are we talking about, Heather?
We're talking about the Pelion Peninsula, which is in northern Greece, and it's probably, just to locate it on the map, it's not the same as the Peloponnese, which is a different part of Greece, but just to save that confusion. But if you were to draw a line between Athens, the capital, and Thessaloniki, which is one of the major cities, the Pelion Peninsula would probably be halfway between the two. So it's in northern Greece, and it's a wonderful, beautiful peninsula that we visited last year.
Excellent. And why should someone else go to the Pelion Peninsula?
Chris, I think mainland Greece is really underrated for travelers. A lot of people go to Athens, of course, amazing cultural sites there. And then they tend to go to the islands where, of course, you have beautiful beaches in the summer, relaxation. But the Pelion offers, I think, a little bit of everything that's wonderful about Greece all in one place. It's a very authentic place. It's a place that the Greeks tend to go to, but it's not widely visited by perhaps UK or USA visitor. So you'll get a more authentic experience there. And the wonderful thing about it is that you get this variety. Because it's a peninsula, you have two coasts. One is the facing the, it's called the Pakacetic Gulf, which is a kind of inland gulf, body of water with beautiful little fishing villages. On the other side, you have amazing beaches and rocky coves. And you also have a ridge, a mountainous ridge that runs down the middle. So you also get little mountain villages where you can sit and you can be a bit cooler and you can be in a shady spot overlooking the sea, but you're actually at about 500 meters. So you get the kind of northern mountain Greece and the beachy Greece all in one place.
Excellent. And what kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us?
I think you really need about a week to enjoy the Pelion. We were there a little over that because we also took a side trip to the Sporades Islands, which are nearby. But to see Volos, which is the kind of gateway city to the Pelion, and mm-hmm. the Pelion Peninsula itself, I'd say about 7 days. And I would probably start in the city of Volos, okay. which you can get to easily either from Athens or from Thessaloniki in about 4 hours by bus or by train.
Excellent. What are we going to do in Volos?
So Volos is a really interesting city. It's a university city, so it has a really young vibe. It also has quite a lot of industrial heritage from the 19th and 20th century. It's the gateway city also for the Thessaly region of mm-hmm. northern Greece, where there's a lot of agriculture, and it's a big port city. But these days, like many industrial cities, it's cleaned up its act and it's become really young, vibrant city with all the students. It's got an amazing harbour frontage. There's a lot of sailing boats come in there. It's also still got a very busy port. But yeah, there's certainly enough to keep you busy perhaps for a day. So I would arrive there and probably spend a day looking around, and I can talk about some of the things you might see there as well.
Please do.
Well, one thing about Volos, unlike many places in Greece, is it's actually quite flat, and so it's great for cycling, which is unusual in Greece. You don't get to cycle in Greece. Usually the traffic's too chaotic and the roads are too mm-hmm. small. But Volos has a wonderful port frontage, and you can cycle right the way along it, and you can look at the boats. You can stop in there's a whole kind of row of cafes overlooking the seafront where you can sit idly and watch the world go by and see all these kind of swanky yachts and fishing boats in the marina. Apart from that, you can cycle around to one of the beaches nearby. That's a really fun thing to do. The city itself has a couple of nice beaches as well. And there's also quite an interesting street art scene, which I discovered just by sort of seeing a few murals around the place. And I discovered that there'd been a few street art events and festivals. So I downloaded a map and started looking for some of these murals and found quite a lot of street art murals. So that's another fun thing to do there as well.
Excellent. Anything else we want to do before we head out of town? This is not one of those Greek cities with a lot of ancient ruins or things like that, from what I see.
Not in the city itself, but in fact, there are some archaeological sites just outside the city. We did actually visit one of them. It was very hot. But yeah, there was some interesting stuff. There was an amazing beehive tomb. It's called a beehive because it's what you'd expect, kind of dome shaped mm-hmm. tomb that you can actually go into. So we did that. So yeah, there is some ancient stuff there, and there's also some interesting museums. There's an archaeological museum, and there's a folklore museum, and there's an interesting brickwork museum, which kind of is great if you want to explore a bit more of the industrial heritage of what Volos was in the past. And so having maybe spent a day looking around Volos, perhaps spent a night there, you can either head out, pick up a hire car there. It's a great place to pick up your hire car if you're going to use a car to get around, which is what
if you're from the US.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would probably recommend that because you will see the maximum if you rent a car. But what you can do if you don't want to rent a car immediately is you can take a trip to a couple of the things that are nearby, Volos, mm-hmm. but within the Pelion Peninsula. So one of those I would say is there are a couple of mountain villages which are really beautiful and very accessible directly from Volos. One of them is called Makrinitsa, and it's known as the Balcony of the Pelion. And the reason for that is it sits on the hillside overlooking Volos. And while you're up there in this beautiful mountain village, you just get the most amazing view over the city, but also over the whole Gulf and the sea. So hence it's the Balcony of the Pelion. So Makrinitsa, and also the second village of Portoria, which are very nearby, the two are near each other. So it's very easy to take a side trip up there, and you can do that by bus. If you don't want to rent a car immediately, you could take a bus, and in about 30 minutes, the bus will take you up the mountain to this wonderful mountain village.
Very cool. And we're mostly going up there for the views, the cooler air, little cafes.
Yeah, exactly. So Makranitsa is one of the larger of the mountain villages. I can also talk a little bit later about some of the other ones. But being one of the largest and best known, it has a beautiful open square. So typically the mountain villages in the Pelion, what you would find is an open square, which is shaded by plane trees. So they're usually very shady. Okay. And there's always a taverna, of course, sometimes two. Sure. And usually the church of the village is also on the square. So you often find a very beautiful old church nearby. And so Makranitsa has, because it's one of the larger villages and most visited, has lots of cafes, restaurants. It's got a nice museum of Byzantine art that you can also visit, where they brought some of the art from the beautiful old churches. So you can see icons and that sort of thing there. And it's just a lovely place to go up. There's near shops there, cafes, to just relax and maybe walk around a little bit, have a look at the views. And you can also walk to the nearby town of Portaria, which is the other mountain village, and there's a nice walk there called the Centaur's Path, which is a pleasant sort of nature trail that you can walk as well. And that's like a good day trip if you want to get a taste of the mountain villages, but you haven't perhaps got much time, just do that in one day.
Okay.
And then from Volos, another side trip that you can take, which again is often comes up and the best things to do in the Pelion, is there's a heritage railway, which is a little steam railway, and it's known as the Little Train of Pelion. And it runs not directly from Volos, but it's just about 30 minutes outside Volos. It starts from one of the small villages close to the coast, and it runs up the mountain to another village called Milies. And so taking that little steam train is another sort of fun thing to do, which is probably on most people's list of things to do when they go to the Pelion. Unfortunately, when we were there, it wasn't running that day. But what we were able to do was actually walk along the track. So we actually saw, you know, the route, but we walked it instead of taking the train. And so the fun thing about it, it sets off in the morning at 10 o'clock and you stop at a village halfway up and you can get out for half an hour and walk around. And then it continues up to the top village, Milies. And then when you arrive there, the train has to be turned around on a turntable. We didn't actually do this ourselves, but we heard about it. So all the passengers have to get out and they all have to help turn the turntable around so that the train can then be turning the right way to go back down the hill. And then when you're at the top, you're in the village of Milies, which again is a beautiful mountain village. It has a large open square, a couple of tavernas, a beautiful church known for its frescoes, a small museum. There's a few things to do for a couple of hours, and then you would take the train back down again. And so that makes a really nice day out. And the interesting thing about this train is that it's the only remaining train like this in the Pelion Peninsula, but originally there were several more extensions of this line, which ran all the way to Volos. And so it was in the days originally, people would just have to get around by donkey on small cobbled paths, but the train, once it was built, really enabled people to get to Volos much more easily than they had. But unfortunately, it was disbanded in the 1950s, I think, and now just this part of it is operational.
And we should say, for train buffs, this is a narrow gauge railroad.
That's right. Yes. And a steam train. Yeah.
Cool.
And after you've done that, so that's probably already we've spent 3 days. Mm-hmm. And what I would then recommend in the Pelion is to do what we did, which is to choose a couple of places to base yourself for maybe 2 to 3 days in each spot and use those as a base to explore other parts of the Pelion. What we did was we chose two places, and on the Pagasetic Gulf coast, which is the kind of the west coast of the peninsula, we stayed at a little place called Aphissos. And Aphissos is a really pretty small town, large village by the sea. It's a fishing village. It has lots of cafes running along the seafront. There's a couple of beaches there. It's very charming. And you can base yourself there and then probably drive to a couple more places, have a couple more days exploring. And then we also spent some time on the east coast, which is the Aegean coast, at a place called Agios Yanis, which again is a similarly pretty resort town. It has a lovely beach, mm-hmm. and there's some more things to do there. So we could talk about the things to do on each of the different coasts and
sure,
what you might be
good.
Doing.
One thing we should say, so you mentioned staying on the west coast first at Aphissos, and the reason you'd stay, and that's a little further down the peninsula, at that part of the peninsula, it doesn't look like there are villages on the east coast. If you went over to the east coast at that point, that it must be a more rugged coast because I'm not seeing a lot
of villages. It is, correct. Yes, perhaps mm-hmm. if I explain the difference between the two coasts. So mm-hmm. on the west coast, because it's part of a gulf, a large body of water, which is quite protected, the coast has a sort of slightly different nature. There are beaches and there are quite pleasant and pretty beaches, but in general, that coastline is a bit more flat. So what you tend to find is a series of small resorts, and they're really well known for being the sort of place where you might go for dinner, that where there's a kind of a seafront, but not necessarily a lot of beachfront, more of a kind of fishing village feel, where you might have a little marina, and then you might have cafes and restaurants all strung along that coast front in front of the water. So there are beaches there, but it's much calmer and the beaches are probably a little narrower because the water's so protected, you don't get big waves. And so when you go over to the east coast, it is definitely much more of a rugged feel to the coastline. You get beautiful broad sandy beaches, but they tend to be enclosed by cliffs. It's quite a rocky coastline, very clear water. It's a little more of the sort of what you might think of as a Greek island experience, mm-hmm. where you get beautiful coves, clear turquoise water. And it's a wonderful place to take boat trips because you can take a boat trip all along that coast and visit some of the beaches by boat and swim in the sea caves. And so that's one of the nice things to do on that side, on the Aegean side, which is to the east, yes. And we should probably also talk a little bit about the mountain villages. So I mentioned a few already, but there are many different mountain villages. And one thing that we did was when we were staying at Aphissos, we drove up Windy Mountain Road, and there was a whole series of different mountain villages that we could stop at just to have a look around, to stop in their square for a drink. We stopped at lunch at one of them. It's a very pleasant experience to go from one to the other. Maybe you'll find one where there's a church is open and you can have a look around and you get the wonderful views looking over down to the coast. And the air is that little bit cooler because you're up at a higher altitude. And the villages are really known for the fact that because it's cooler up there, they can grow different produce than you would at the coast. Mm-hmm. So they're known for apples, pears, apricots, peaches, perhaps some of the produce that because it's slightly cooler that they can grow that you wouldn't necessarily see those at the coast. And one thing that they're also known for, sort of part of the culture of the kind of mountain villages, is you'll be snowed in the winter. They get snow up there in the winter. In fact, there's a ski resort up there, in fact.
I saw that a ski resort with water views of the Aegean, which sounded intriguing.
Yes, yeah. On Mount Pelion, there's a ski resort, yeah, which the Greeks go up to, yes. And so the mountain villages, I was going to say, they have this sort of tradition of preserving the fruits and the vegetables. So you find women's cooperatives, like one that we visited in one of the villages called Vizitsa, where you can go and you can meet the ladies, and they're in their sort of communal kitchen using all these fruits and veg, and they've got amazing sort of jars of what they call sweet spoon. So they preserve the fruit in a sugar syrup. And so the Greek tradition would be that if a visitor came to your house, you would offer them just a small amount of this preserved fruit in syrup on the spoon. So it would be a sweet spoon as a way to say welcome to your guests and have this with some coffee or something. So this sweet spoon is something that the jars of preserved fruit you see a lot, and other fruits and vegetables and pickles with all the produce that they are able to grow up there. And yeah, so that's one of the really nice things. When you go up there, you see a lot of kind of herbs. They have herbal teas. You get one of the locals' tea would be linden tea, that they dry the flowers of the linden tree, and so that would be a traditional drink as well. So it's got that feel of northern Greece, mountain Greece, which is a little bit different to what you find at the coast.
Okay.
I'll just mention a couple of the other villages which have some nice things to see. One of them, called Sagarada, has the oldest plane tree in the Pelion, which you can see just growing in their square. It's absolutely enormous. It's apparently 1,000 years old. The trunk is 3 or 4 meters in diameter, so it's absolutely huge. So that's quite a fun thing to go and see and sit under, and maybe even you can actually climb up into the branches a little bit, even though you're not supposed to. And then there are also some really beautiful churches, medieval churches. There's one at Kissos, which is very well known. It has beautiful frescoes in. Another one at Milie. There's some lovely churches that you can go and visit and see these beautiful frescoes as well. So those would be fun things to do while you're up in the mountains. And the other thing is that in the old days, the only way to get around was on cobbled paths or lanes that would run from village to village. They're called calderimi, and they're basically like a cobbled donkey track. But these days you can hike along them. And so there are a few different hiking trails that you can do along these cobbled tracks that either take you perhaps down to the coast, or maybe take you from village to village, which are fun to do. So hiking is quite a big thing in the Pelion. We were there in the summer, but obviously in the autumn when the leaves are turning golden and you've got the wood smoke in the air of the mountain villages, it would be a very beautiful and atmospheric place to do some hiking as well. And that's a really popular thing to do.
Very good.
ButcherBox is sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler, and I just got my first ButcherBox. I've got, packed with dry ice, came 4 packets of ground beef, 3 packets of chicken breasts, 2 steaks, some pork ribs, and some sirloin tips. Now, I've got a great recipe for what to do with the chicken. At least one of those packets of chicken is going to become Greek chicken and rice. And if you go to chris2x.com, I've got a recipe there that's an Instant Pot recipe. But I'm not good with steak, and so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that ButcherBox has recipes on their site at butcherbox.com to learn some great recipes to do with those steaks. You can have ButcherBox deliver meat to your doorstep. Free shipping as always, curated to custom box plans. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. I also like the fact that I could recycle all the box and shipping material that they sent. Sign up at butcherbox.com/traveler and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. Choose salmon, chicken, breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com /traveler. If you got recipes for ribs or steaks, send them my way as I send my thanks to ButcherBox.com for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Anything else we want to cover on the Pelion Peninsula?
Yeah. And so another thing that we did, which was more along the coast, if I perhaps talk about some of the things that we did along the coast. If you think of the Pelion as a kind of finger of land, a peninsula land facing south, at the tip of the finger is a little island called Trikeri. And you can actually get a boat, a little water taxi over for just a few euros to this island. And that was a really fun thing that we did. We actually drove to where the ferry goes, and then we went over for the day using this water taxi and just walked around. And it's quite a large island. There aren't too many people who live on it year round, although there are a few holiday homes, but it's got a large monastery in the middle of it, so you can walk up to that. It's got a couple of very nice seafood restaurants on the port where you arrive, so you can sit and amongst the sort of dried octopus and have some amazing locally caught seafood. And then you can also walk across the island, because it's not that big, to a couple of different beaches and have a nice swim. And then when you've had enough, just get the water taxi back again. So that was a really fun thing to do. If we go over to the east coast, the Aegean coast, which I talked about being the very rocky coast where the best beaches are, there are a lot of connections with the Mamma Mia film, which is very popular, and all those catchy ABBA tunes. And one of the locations there called Damukari, which is very close to where we stayed, and actually we were able to walk there, is the location, one of the locations that they used in the Mamma Mia movie. So that was really fun, because we could see this kind of cute little village and little port, which they used as a film location. And it's got a beautiful beach next to it as well. I don't know if you remember, do you know the movie? I don't know if you remember in the movie. There was a scene where Donna, who's played by Meryl Streep, her two friends arrive, and she arrives in a Jeep, and she drives down the sort of cobbled path, cobbled lane, and she arrives at a port to meet them off the ferry. So that was the location. And then later there's another scene where Donna, played by Meryl Streep, is singing with her friends. They're singing Dancing Queen, and they end up dancing through the village down to the port. And they all end up on the jetty with lots of the local women who joined them on the way. And then they all end up jumping into the water. So again, that was filmed at that port. And if you go there, of course, the people who are in the shops and the cafes can tell you all the stories of what the cast got up to and how all the locals were used as extras and how the film set was constructed, because they had to actually create a pier where there wasn't one. And it's just a pretty place to go as well. And it's got a beautiful beach with very clear water. So that was lovely as well.
Very cool.
So I think we've covered most of the things that we did while we were there. Of course, the beach is really beautiful, particularly on the east coast. And lots, I think that one of the best ways to see them is by taking a boat trip, which is what we did. Then you get a chance to get to some beaches that you might have difficulty to get to by car, because perhaps they're very steep to get down to or quite remote, and you can swim in the sea caves and just, yeah, that was a really nice day out as well.
And then you talked about a side trip out to the islands.
So one of the really fun things to do is to take a trip to the northern Spiridies Islands. So there are three main ones that you can easily get to by ferry. And they are Skiathos, which has the airport, Skopelos and Alonissos. And the one that we visited was Skopelos, which is probably the largest of those three. And it's known as the Green and Blue Island because it's very green. It's covered with vegetation, with forest, and of course, you've got the blue of the sea. So it's known as the Green and Blue Island. Skiathos is known as being a little bit more lively because it's got the airport. It does have a bit more tourism coming in. And Alonissos has a marine park around it. And it's known as being the most natural and the most tranquil of the islands, of those three islands. And you can reach all of them easily from Volos. So Volos has daily ferries several times a day. And there's more than one ferry company to take you there. Just within a few hours, you're on the islands. And then if you want, you can actually go between the islands, easily get between Skiathos and Skopelos, for instance. And we spent a few days on Skopelos, so that was a fun thing to do. Lots of people also charter yachts and sail around that group of islands, and they come from Volos and also maybe stopping at places on the Pelion Peninsula. So if you're into sailing, that could be something of interest as well.
And if you're not a sailor, what would one do out on, for instance, where you went out on Skopelos?
Yeah. So Skopelos, yeah, is a lovely island. It's known for being really quite natural and unspoilt and a little bit like perhaps stepping back in time compared to some of the more visited islands. And it's got a lot of nature. It's great for hiking. It's got some lovely beaches. When you arrive, the port, which is called Chora, which just means town in Greek. It has a lovely old town, so you can walk up through the cobbled streets, and there are lots of nice little gift shops and souvenir shops and cafes to enjoy. And then over the other side of the island, there are some lovely beaches. We stayed on a really nice beach called Panormos, which is one of the larger beaches. And also Skopelos, as we were mentioning in Mamma Mia, is one of the main locations that was also used in the Mamma Mia film. And if you remember from that film, there was a beautiful chapel set up on a rocky point on the edge of the coast, and it looked amazing in the movie. And so you're able to actually go and visit that and climb up the many steps to the top, where there's a tiny little church, a chapel, which was used as a location in the film for the wedding. So you can go and visit
that.
And
that's the Agios Ionis Church?
That's right, yes. Okay. Yes, Agios Ionis. And also there's some beaches. One of the beaches that was used in the movie as well is there as well. So that's another nice place to visit. But there are lots of lovely beaches. There's a second lovely old town on the other side of the island from Hora, where you come in. Yeah, there's lots to do. One thing that was quite intriguing was we were able to hike up to what they call the pirate graves. It's a location called Senderos, but it's in the middle of the island, and you hike up a road and then path to get to what they call the pirate graves. They're actually quite striking. I don't know that I think pirate graves is one of the sort of names that sounds good for the tourists. I think they're prehistoric tombs. They're basically three or four rock tombs that have been carved directly into the rock, probably a meter deep, and with huge, must weigh tons, rocks that were put over to cover the rocks. In the past, obviously, tomb robbers have pushed the stones that were covering the tombs and opened them. So there's nothing in there. It's just a sort of a tomb that's carved out of the rocks. But when you get there and you see the amazing views looking over the sea, you think to yourself, these tombs must have been made. If you imagine how much effort must have been gone into making them, they must have been for a very important person who wanted to be buried here, where they could see over this lovely view of the sea. It was quite a magical place, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, lots to do on Skopelos. And from there, you can also take a boat trip to Alonissos and do a sort of day trip around in the marine park where, I don't know, you'll probably see turtles, dolphins, that sort of thing. And Skiathos, if you want a bit more of a kind of lively party scene, you can go there as well.
Excellent. I think we're wrapping up then. Anything else we need to tell people before they head here down to the Pelion Peninsula?
I think we've covered most of the highlights, to be honest. I just think it's nice to encourage people to explore other parts of Greece other than perhaps some of the islands that are completely well known and sometimes quite overrun with tourists, and to try and get a little bit more of an authentic Greek experience. It's not to say that the Pelion isn't well set up for tourism, but it's mainly Greek tourists who go there. Mm-hmm. Also, possibly some Germans, Eastern Europeans who drive down in through northern Greece. But it's nice to go somewhere where you really feel that you're experiencing a bit more of the kind of the Greek way of life and experiencing Greece on holiday the way the Greeks experience it, not necessarily hearing English spoken at every turn.
And I've been looking for more shows on mainland Greece. And I'll tell the listeners, if you've been to either Thessaloniki, which I would love to do an episode on that region, or to the Peloponnese, those are two places I would definitely like to fill out our understanding of Greece, because there's a lot of places we have not talked about on Amateur Traveler. Excellent. Heather, as we get to some of our wrap-up questions, you were standing in the prettiest spot in the Pelion Peninsula. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I think it has to be Makrinitsa, where we were talking and saying it was
the mountain village.
The mountain village, the balcony of the Pelion, because it really is a very beautiful village, very charming, very authentic. Mm-hmm. And I would be standing in the square under the shady plane trees, and they have huge pots of hydrangeas, which had a bit of color all around. They seem to go in for hydrangeas in those mountain villages. And you can sit at a table and just have a nice drink or coffee or a meal. And you've got the most amazing view looking down on Volos, looking down on the sea, and with these beautiful mountain houses around you, which are very striking as well. So that's probably where I would be.
It's funny when you say the plane trees, because this is something that I was less familiar with. It's not something that we have over in my neck of the woods. And it feels like one of the poorest named trees. They're lovely trees. They're not plain in that sense, but funny.
No, they seem to be in every single square in those mountain villages, and often very old. And they just provide beautiful shade. That's why they're there. They're providing shade and cool while you sit there enjoying the view and enjoying your drink or your meal.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in the Pelion Peninsula?
I think what I enjoyed was the fact that you could be up in a mountain village having lunch in the shade, and it would be one atmosphere, almost of sort of northern Greece, of mountain Greece. Mm-hmm. And yet in 20 minutes, you could drive down to the coast and be on a beautiful beach in a rocky cove and having almost the sort of typical Greek island experience with the clear water and the sun umbrellas and eating seafood. So it's almost two different aspects of Greece so close together. I think that's one of the unique things about the Pelion.
That's funny. One of the funny things about Heather's pitch was that I've been looking at places where I can work for a week, because I have a ability with my current job to go someplace and work. And I'll be actually doing that in San Juan, Puerto Rico here coming up in 3 weeks. But one of the places I looked at was the Pelion Peninsula or Volos. It was one of the places that was on my mind when Heather was talking about going there. Oh, okay. So excellent. And if you had to summarize this region in just 3 words, what 3 words would you use?
I'd say authentic, because you really feel you're in the authentic Greece, you're getting the authentic Greek experience. I'd say charming because it's so picturesque, both the coastal villages and the little fishing ports and the mountain villages. And I talk about variety. I think it's the fact you've got so much variety in a relatively small region that you can see a lot and enjoy a lot very easily in a small area.
Excellent. Our guest again has been Heather Cowper from heatheronhertravels.com, whose podcast I miss, but you can still read her blog posts and see her lovely photography on the web. So Heather, thank you so much for coming back on Amateur Traveler after what was way too long of hiatus and telling us about your love for the Pelion Peninsula.
Thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure.
A special thanks to the patrons of the show and an apology for those who tried to get to the monthly patron Zoom call because I screwed up the schedule this month. Sorry about that, but I'll try and do better in the future. If you're interested in supporting the show, you can go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. I hope you enjoyed this episode on Greece. It's actually the second of four that I'm going to have here within a 2-month span because I realized there's a lot of things we hadn't covered before in Greece. So we've also got one coming up on Thessaloniki that is in the can and one on the Peloponnese that I have yet to record. So I hope you'll enjoy those as well. We've got another show coming up on Northern Spain that's in the can. And then we've got some scheduled for Bonaire, Bolivia, and Tanzania as well. If you've got ideas for yourself coming on the show or for someone else who should be on the show or a destination we should cover, send them to host@amateurtraveler.com. I'd love to hear from you. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.
Cafe. I know that I should